Our reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 16. Please stand for the reading of God's word if you're able. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I took a philosophy class in college, and it was one of those evening classes that happened after supper. It was once a week for 3 hours, and for me, that's probably not the best time to take a class. I know my roommate and I, who was in the class also, we had a break about halfway through, and we'd always go back to our dorm room and brew some more coffee so that we might be able to have it, to be able to stay up for it. But in this philosophy class, we had to read a whole lot of different philosophical ideas all throughout kind of history. It was an overview, a survey class of philosophy. And as I was reading some of these new ideas that I had never encountered before, I remember I'd have to read or reread or read it again like 3 or 4 times. And even after all of that, I didn't really understand it all, or at least some of it, but I was thankful for having that professor in that class, because whatever we were reading that week, he would then kind of talk about it and help us understand these concepts better. And if it wasn't for that professor's help in allowing me to kind of get a better understanding about what these philosophers were theorizing and talking about, I don't know if I would have passed that class at all. I could have read it over and over again and tried my hardest to understand it, but that didn't really work until I went to class, had that professor explain it, and then it was that kind of aha moment of, oh, that's what this person was writing about. Maybe you've experienced that same thing in your life before, that you seem to have trouble kind of understanding a concept or a new idea. Maybe you read it or you're trying to learn it, but for some reason it's just not making any sense to you. But then someone who is maybe a bit more experienced in this new concept or idea or this way of doing things has a little bit different way of explaining it than maybe you've heard it before, and by them helping you, it kind of illuminates this new idea or concept to you. Maybe you've had this in the faith before, that you read a passage and you don't really know what it's about, so you read the passage again and it's still not making sense, or maybe it's a sermon that you hear and maybe the pastor was clear in it, but it just didn't really make any sense to you either. And it really took the right person or the right voice to speak into that, to really give you an understanding where you might not have had an understanding before. Paul is going a bit more into the concepts and ideas that we talked about last week. Paul continues to kind of contrast worldly wisdom with the wisdom of God. This time he focuses on understanding a bit more about God's wisdom. So last week, he talks about how the gospel doesn't really make sense if we just use our common sense, if we use our worldly understanding, as he puts it. It just doesn't make sense, because why would the defining point in Christianity be the point where the king was crucified, put to death by the Roman authorities? Doesn't that show that Rome has more power than God does? But yet, for Paul, that's what he says is the defining moment in Christianity. That's the point where we see God's glory the most. That's the point where we see his power. But yet, in our minds, crucifixion is a defeat. So Paul says that understanding the gospel, you really can't understand it fully or grasp it and hold on to it just using common sense or worldly wisdom. But you have to have something greater than that. And Paul says, well, you shouldn't really make the gospel more appealing by fluffing it up with language or trying to really convince people through charismatic speaking, but you should just tell the gospel story plainly, allow the power of the story, the power of God, to work in those people's lives, to allow them to hear the message and receive it. And this week he goes a bit deeper into that concept. He goes a bit further by saying it's not only just the power of the gospel that transforms, but it's the power of the gospel plus God working through his Spirit in that person's life that allows them to see the beauty of what has happened in Christ Jesus and allow them to accept that beauty for themselves. So Paul starts out by kind of reviewing how God has worked throughout Christ, throughout his revelation so far to humankind. In verse 6, he says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age." So just like last week, it's that worldly wisdom that we're not speaking in, but we're speaking through a different wisdom, something that those mature in Christ could understand, but those with the worldly wisdom, the wisdom of this age, the rulers of this age, they won't understand it. Verse 7, he says, "No, we declare God's wisdom." So now we know that it's God's wisdom that we should speak in, not the world's wisdom. "It's a mystery that's been hidden, that God destined for our glory before time began." So now Paul is saying this plan, this wisdom, this thing that God is doing has been hidden from many since before time began, that God had this entire plan with Christ Jesus before the foundations of the world, but he chose to kind of hide that back for a time so that he could work out through history, through his people, his coming glory. verse 8, he says, "Now none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." He's saying that those rulers of the age, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all the elites of that day, Rome, didn't understand who Jesus was, because who Jesus was hidden from them. Kind of explains a bit about what we see in the Gospels, that Jesus is preaching this message, that he's showing himself to be the Messiah, the promised one in the Old Testament, that he's doing all of these miracles to show that he is the Messiah, but yet a lot of people don't see him as the Messiah, that even these miracles that he's performing, they try and write off as just a trick that he's doing, or maybe it's not even the Spirit of God, but the spirit of Satan that's working through him. That Paul is explaining that, well, people didn't understand Jesus because God had hidden that knowledge from them. But again, they were working in a different wisdom, a wisdom of this age and not of God, so they didn't see God at work in Christ Jesus. And because they didn't see God at work in Christ Jesus and through Christ Jesus, that they crucified him. Ultimately, we know that was for God's plan. God works everything for his good. Verse 9, he says, "However, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who loved him." He's quoting from Isaiah 64 there, and Isaiah 64 is this passage that shows the greatness of God, that his ways are higher than our ways, that God's ways kind of transcends human understanding. But Paul uses this passage both to show God's greatness and the ways that he works aren't necessarily the ways that we think he should work or that make sense to us. But Paul also uses this as a way to say that now God is revealing these things to you. What once was hidden from you, as God was working behind the scenes to bring about this salvation, this gift for you, that now his ways are being given to you. The understanding of what God is doing is now being revealed to you. And how is it being revealed to you? Well, he says that in this next section from verses 11 through 10 through 13. He says, "These are the things God has revealed to us by the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, for who knows a person's thought except their own spirit in them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Who knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God?" The Spirit is the innermost being of a person. It's where our thoughts, our actions, all of those things come from in a Hebrew understanding of who it is to be a human. And now, God has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, to be in you. And if you have God's Spirit, Paul is saying, now you have the understanding to know God's ways and to know his thoughts. If you've been around a couple who's been married for quite some time, you know that that couple can start to complete each other's sentences, that you kind of know what your spouse is thinking before they even say it because you've been around them. They've revealed to you who they are. Maybe more than anyone else, they've revealed themselves to in this world. They've showed you their spirit. And now because you live in this relationship with them, you know who they are. They know who you are. You may even know your spouse a bit better than they know themselves because We like to think one thing about ourselves, but then we usually act a little bit more according to who we actually are than kind of that ideal that we set forth. And it's the same way with our relationship with God. If we're close with God, if God has given us His Spirit, His deepest self, and revealed that to us, then we know who God is. We know how He's going to act, how He's going to react to a situation. And it's this gift that we've been given in the Holy Spirit, He says. It's that understanding that maybe not everybody has, because not everyone has the gift of the Spirit until God gives it to them. Kind of explains why you can share the gospel with somebody and you think this person is really intellectual and smart, but you're sharing the gospel message with them and they just aren't seeming to understand it or to grasp it or to see how Christ being crucified applies to them today. And well, it's because they haven't been given the gift of the Holy Spirit to understand the things of God that they can't see the beauty of Christ crucified. Paul goes on to explain this a bit more in the last portion of our reading for today. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit, from God, but considers them foolish and cannot understand them because they are discerning only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but the person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who knows the mind of the Lord so as to instruct them? But we have the mind of Christ. Paul says in these verses is that without the Holy Spirit, without this gift that we have been given, the things of God make no sense to them. That God working through history to bring about salvation through His Son, well, that's just utter nonsense to those who are without the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God shows the ways of God, and knowing the ways of God are only seen through His Spirit. But what Paul says to the church in Corinth, to this little fledgling group of house churches, is that you've been given this knowledge, this understanding that you have the mind of Christ. So to this little church in Corinth, this metropolitan city with all these different philosophies and ideas in it, with all of these people getting up in the auditorium and giving these motivational speeches to worship this God as opposed to other gods, that Paul is telling them that all of that wisdom that they're giving doesn't measure up, doesn't get close to the wisdom that you've been given when you were given the Spirit of God to understand His ways. That, yeah, His ways may not make sense to the philosopher who stands up and gives this compelling speech, but it doesn't make sense to the philosopher, not because it's nonsense, but because he hasn't been given the wisdom of Christ through the Holy Spirit. But you have been given the mind of Christ. You know the ways of God, and you've been given this gift of salvation. So hold fast to that as opposed to any other type of wisdom. So what does this message mean for us today? First, I think this is probably one of the bigger things here, is that when we open up Scripture, we read it, we try to understand it, we exegete it, we we parse out verbs and try and figure out what God is saying, but all of that is fruitless unless we have the Holy Spirit with us. So it gives us a bit of comfort knowing that God's given us His Word, His special divine revelation in this life, but He's also given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to be able to understand it. Now that means that not everything in Scripture will be clear to us, that some of it is still a bit obscure and scholars will debate back and forth on it. But there's this theological concept called the perspicuity of Scripture, meaning that the things for salvation, this gospel message that we've been given, that is clear to us in Scripture when we have the Holy Spirit guiding our reading of the text. So we've been given the manual and we've also been given the key to it by the Holy Spirit. This also means that God wants us to know Him. That God isn't a God that's kind of standing behind the curtain and not wanting to be seen any longer. That He's not a God who isn't involved with creation, but He's a God who's given us His Spirit so that we might understand who He is and the ways that He works in this world. And that should be a comfort for us as well. That God is a loving God who cares for us, who gave His Son for us, but also cares that we understand that, so He gives us His Spirit so that we might understand His ways and who He is. So what does this live out and look like? I think as a church, as a people of God, when we see that we've been given this gift of His Spirit to understand His ways, that as we open up Scripture, as we look over it on Sunday mornings, that we remember that we're not just doing this alone, that it wasn't just my study of the text over the last week, but hopefully it was the Holy Spirit working in me as I was praying and preparing this message, that it's not only my words, but now it's God's word to this congregation in this moment, at this time. The Holy Spirit's involved and working in it. But it's also not just what happens here on Sunday morning, but it's when we open up Scripture in our Bible studies, that it's not just the people there in the study that bring their own interpretations of the text or their own understandings of what it says, but again, we trust by the Holy Spirit that God is there working through and in us so that we might understand and know His ways a bit clearer. And if we know His ways clearer, then we can walk in His ways closer to Him. Living in the Spirit also means that we're going to look different from living in the world. That what makes sense to most people might not make sense to God, and they're going to look at us and it'll be a bit odd to them why we're doing what we're doing. Like, it's a bit odd for most people that we take Sunday mornings apart to gather together and worship Him, that Sunday morning is kind of that morning that you sleep in, that your last day before you have to go back to work. So wouldn't you want to kind of use that for yourself? But as Christians, we see it as our rightful duty to be here and to worship God because of all that God has given to us. Why couldn't we give this hour, if not our entire lives, to serve Him? Or maybe to the world, it looks a bit odd that we would give tithes and offerings to God's work because we worked hard for that money. Shouldn't we keep that money? But as Christians, we see the work that we do as a gift from God. We see what we've been given as a gift from God, and we offer that back up, knowing that even though that tithe might be a bit painful, that God will take care of us in it, and we trust Him in that. And when we go through those difficult life situations, when we hear that cancer diagnosis that, to the world, that rises up a lot of anxiety in us and a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear for death, but as Christians, we may experience some of that as well. But we also know that whatever happens to us here in this life, that God has given us the gift of His grace and salvation in Christ Jesus, that we are secure. And even though our body in this life is wasting away, we know when our life here is over that we go to God and His grace gives us an encouragement to live each day, knowing that we're secure in Christ Jesus. And that security looks odd to the world around us, but when we walk in the Spirit, we look different than those around us. So as a church, I encourage us to live in the Spirit, to live in the wisdom that God has given us, to not look at the world through the wisdom of this world, but look at it through the lens, the mind of Christ that we have been given in Christ Jesus. Remember, the Spirit of God reveals the wisdom of God so that we might live in the mind of Christ. It gives us encouragement, gives us grace to live each day for Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that You have given us Your Spirit, that by this gift of Your Spirit that You allow us to know Your ways, to know Your mind, to know Your thoughts, God. We're thankful that You have given us this gift of the Holy Spirit, and we pray that we might not neglect it, that as we open up Your Word, as we hear from it, that we might pray that Your Spirit might be working in and through Your words to encourage us, to strengthen us, to edify us, to continue on and walking in Your Spirit, God. We just pray that as we continue our lives, that we might do so, being attentive to the Holy Spirit and to the work that He is showing us in and through You. We thank You for this, and we pray that we would more and more have the mind of Christ. It's in Christ that we pray. Amen.